Welcome to Outbound, where we talk about how people who do business development can build deeper relationships with their ideal customers. Today, I am honored to have Bob Berg on the show. Bob is the co-author of The Go-Giver and a Hall of Fame keynote speaker on referrals, relationship building, and genuine influence. Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joseph, thank you. What a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, so Bob, I know, having read The Go-Giver, I kind of have an idea of your philosophy, but I think you could tie it up really nicely in a nutshell with, you know, what is your secret sauce for building relationships with your ideal customers?
Well, I mean, I think it's understanding that when it comes right down to it, it's all about them. You know, for years when I spoke at sales conferences, I'd often begin by saying, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet. Right? They're not going to buy from you because you need the money or would like to see the sale happen. They're not even going to buy from you just because you're a really nice person. They're going to buy from you because they believe they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. And when you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, right? And so it's really understanding, and this is really what the premise of The Go-Giver is about, that shifting your focus, and this is where it all begins, shifting your focus from getting to giving. Now, when we say giving in this context, Joseph, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's actually the most financially profitable way as well. And again, not for some way out there woo-woo magical mystical type of reasons, but for that very reason. When you're that person that, or for the a very rational, logical reason, when you're that person who can take your focus off of yourself and instead place it on serving others, discovering what they need, what they want, what they desire, when you can move your focus off yourself and place it on helping that other person solve or overcome their problems and challenges, when you can make it not about you, but about moving them closer to happiness, people feel good about you. They feel great about you. They want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. They want to do business with you. They want to tell the world about you. They want to be your, as John David Mann, my co-author, and I call it, they want to be your personal walking ambassadors.
Yeah, I love that. The concept of giving more in value than you take in payment. And, you know, I think that does really speak to kind of making that idea practical. Cause I think when people hear the term of, you know, being a go-giver and adding value, it sounds nice. And people think about that, you know, kind of in theory, they like the idea, but then when it comes down to practice, it's like, well, how do you do that? And I think that principle really ties that together of, you know, you're just looking to give more out than you're asking for in return. And when you do that, people want to work with you.
Yeah. Well, you're receiving and it's not that you're getting more than you're giving more than you're receiving. You're giving in a way that's of great value to that person. Okay. What you receive, it's also going to be very profitable to you too. Okay. It's that what you're giving to them is what they find to be of value. Value is the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something to the end user or beholder. What is it about this thing, this product, service, concept, idea that is of so much worth or value to them that they will willingly exchange their money for this and be ecstatic, be very happy that they did while you make a very healthy profit. So aside from just the intrinsic value that your product provides, just again, by the very nature of what your product or service is supposed to do. Yes, it's got to provide wonderful value. And how do you make that person feel along the way at every single touch point from when you first meet them through the relationship building process, the follow up and follow through, the sales process, the referral process, through the excellence, through the consistency, through the attention, through the empathy, through the appreciation, through everything you communicate. Right? Are you providing such an immense experience for this person that they just feel great about it, that they feel that they believe that they receive much more in value than what they paid for? When you can do that, okay, now, you know, you've created that very benevolent context for a very sustainably profitable business.
Yeah, so I want to come back to this in a second to kind of give a little bit more practicality to what you're talking about, because I feel like when people are going to implement something like this, they get lost in the details. But before we go there, just to illustrate what you're talking about, can you share a quick story about a time when you've seen, you know, being a go-giver or giving, adding more value than you're taking in payment? Can you give it a story that illustrates the value of doing that?
Well, I mean, it would be every sale I've ever made, because you have to, because nobody's going to buy from you because, you know, again, because you want them to. So you're going to have to do that. I can just... numerous times where I've spoken to a person and asked them questions in the discovery that allowed me to not impart what I think is of value onto them, but to instead discover what they need, right? What they want, what they desire. I ask them questions so that they're going to tell me, you know, the challenges they need solved or what they're looking to accomplish. Or as my co-author of my latest book Jeff West, as he says, so that they'll tell you what they need to hear, right? It's just before we're able to provide a solution, we first have to really understand their problem and understand it from their point of view. You know, I remember one time just, you know, speaking with a person who told me she absolutely did not have a need for, you know, what I was selling. And I just listened to her. And she told me, and as she spoke, okay, she actually began to express her needs. And by the time she finished talking, she asked me, you know, how much the service was. Okay. So again, sometimes it's just focusing so much on that other person and allowing them the space. Okay. Other times it's when they speak and you hear something they're saying, but you also kind of discover that they may be sitting on a solution they don't even know is there, or they may have a problem they're not aware of that you can solve. And so you're able to add insights, but that never happens unless you've been willing to truly listen in order to discover from their point of view.
Yeah, I mean, that ties really well into the last episode that we did on the show, which is about being curious, and kind of the being curious is a superpower. And I think what you're sharing is a different way of saying the same thing. Like, you're going into every conversation, into a discovery with genuine curiosity about the other person, about their, you know, them as a person, about their business, about the challenges they're facing. And instead of going in trying to push something on them, you're going in just asking questions and learning about it and, you know, adding value through the conversation. And then when you're genuinely curious, you're actually helping the other person do the introspection they need to realize that the problem might be bigger than what they thought it was. And once they do that, it becomes a lot more clear whether you can actually help them through them paying you to keep working with them.
Well, one of my colleagues, Jeff Shore, who's just a wonderful, legendary salesperson now, speaker and best-selling author, he says, you know, all over the world, salespeople are looking to provide the solution without first understanding the problem. So, you know, if a doctor tried to do that, that would be malpractice, right?
Yeah, and I think that's super helpful for salespeople, because a lot of times when you're working, you know, let's just use a consulting company, for example, your company has the services that you offer. And then, you know, if it's somebody that doesn't have a sales background, and a lot of the clients that we work with don't have a background in sales, they're a consultant. And then suddenly it's like, hey, if you want to move up in the company, you got to start bringing in some new business. So have at it. And then those people go in and they're thinking, oh, here's the services that we offer. How can I get somebody to buy these services or be interested in it? But again, when you're taking that approach of really humility and going into to serve that other person, you're going to uncover problems that you probably didn't even recognize were there. And, you know, I'm more from a marketing background than a sales background myself. And so what you're talking about is a lot of the stuff that we'll talk about in marketing, as far as like, you gotta find the pain and the problem of your customer base. And if you haven't done customer research and you haven't talked to people and really uncovered the unknown unknowns, you know, the things that they don't even realize are causing the pain, then it's really difficult to get them to be interested in what you're doing. You know, then almost all you can do is pitch your products all day. And when you have that curiosity, you're able to uncover those as a salesperson and really add a lot of value.
One of my colleagues and great friends, his name is Frank Favaro, and again, a wonderful sales professional for many years, and now a consultant in customer experience in the Ohio area, Akron, Ohio. He tells a great story when he first went into business as a consultant. He went for 6 months without having any clients. And the reason why was because none of them believed they had an issue when it came to client experience, customer experience. So what he did is he became a secret shopper, and he called, posing as a person who was looking for a job. And now in that niche that Frank worked, they were looking for talent. They were desperately looking for new talent to come in. But the person on the phone consistently, when he would call, would either say, "No, we don't have any openings," or which wasn't true. How would they even say that? Or they would just not really know how to direct them to where they needed to go. Well, Frank was recording these conversations. He brought them to the CEOs so that they could hear that they had a problem. At that point, boom, Frank's business took off. But remember, until somebody is aware that they have a problem, they won't take any steps to solve that problem. That just makes sense, right? You certainly can't look to improve on something you don't feel needs improvement. So exactly, you know, had he just gone in and said, "This is what we do, this is how we can help," well, they don't feel they need any help. When he first demonstrated they had an issue, now they were open.
Yeah, I think that kind of ties into the next question. So, you know, what you're describing there is adding value, but it's not necessarily, I think when people think of, or I'll just say for myself, when I think about adding value, sometimes it's hard to know what that is. So it's like, oh, do I need to take somebody out to dinner? And, you know, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but, you know, it's kind of always, or when we're talking about giving, you know, I think we're thinking about giving gifts or, you know, doing something that's that is maybe monetary or costs you something. But what you're describing there is adding value and giving by helping the other person really understand their own pain and their own problem. And that is value. That is giving to them because you're helping them uncover something that they didn't realize was an issue. So what are some practical steps to becoming somebody that adds more value, you know, that thinks the way that you're talking about with adding value and giving up front?
It's finding out what the other person sees of value. So first of all, you know, there's many ways to give value. It can be in the connections you help someone make, and the advice you provide, and the resources that you recommend. It can be with a listening ear. You know, those are the things aside from, again, the product or service itself. There's many ways. It might be something you've learned that they're one of their family members, one of their kids is a soccer phenom, and you hear about or you look up and find a camp, you know, for soccer phenoms taught by some celebrity soccer player, and you send them a note to let them know. You know, there's all these things that you can do that provide value to another person. But what is so important to realize, though, and we alluded to this earlier, but this is so important, is that value is always in the eyes of the beholder. It's not what we believe is of value to them or what we think they should think is of value to them. It's what they believe is. So we always have to take it. And that's where research comes in. That's where asking the right questions comes in. You know, that's where all these things come in that give you that sort of, you know, put you 9 steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
Yeah, that's huge. It's figuring out what's valuable to them and not assuming that, because that's the same thing as pitching your product. Like if you're pitching something that was valuable to the last person, to the next person, it's not that much different than just pitching your product if it's not something that they see as valuable. And so, you know, being open and having that discovery is important.
And I'm going to suggest something. I even want people, and, you know, Jeff West, again, co-author of our latest book, Streetwise to Saleswise, we talk about this all the time. We want to take the word pitch totally out of the sales vocabulary. Okay. You want to have sales conversations, right? And so, because when you're thinking about, and here's why, the word itself is a horrible word, unless you're talking about baseball or singing or roofs, which where pitch is part of it. But, you know, what is a pitch? It's something in baseball. It's something you do to someone, not for someone. So when you pitch, you're looking to strike that person's out. What strike that person out? What we're looking to do is help strengthen that person and help them be better off. Now, it's not just because it's not like you're going to say it to them, hey, I'm going to pitch you. It's not, but it's what you're thinking to yourself. So this consultant going in, and again, as you alluded to, consultants tend to be wonderful practitioners. They're very knowledgeable. They do great work, but selling isn't necessarily what they want to feel like they're doing, yet they need to. They need to sell their consulting services. So I want them in their own mind, not thinking that they're pitching a prospect. I want them inviting. I want them in having sales conversations, right? And looking at it in such a way that we make it about the other person, even in the language we use to ourselves, as opposed to, you know, it being what we're going to do.
Yeah, I like that mindset switch. That's huge, because it does come across, I mean, no matter what you think in your head and what you think in your mind.
If you feel you're pitching, it's about you. If you feel you're having a conversation, it's about them.
Yeah, I love that distinction. So one thing I'm going to ask this just from my own perspective, because a while ago I was running my own marketing business, and the challenge that I ran into was that I did give a ton of value up front, and I would work with people, and, you know, I think in some ways I like gave too much value up front, and then it was difficult to turn that value from a business conversation that was helpful to them to a sales conversation. So, you know, what's your advice for people who, you know, are good at having conversations, they are talking with people, they're adding value, that person appreciates them, but I call it like getting friend zoned. How do you get out of the friend zone and get into that, start that sales conversation?
Yeah, I think we have to know our boundaries. Okay. And we have to respect our own boundaries. And there's nothing wrong with providing value up front. You've got to do it, because that is a way for them to get to know, like, and trust you. And that's fine. And we do it in such a way that we want them. We also want to communicate, not necessarily what we say. We don't have to say it if we do it correctly. We want to communicate that in order to apply it correctly. That's where I come in. Right. Now, sometimes there can be a point where someone's so used to just getting free advice, right? And even free advice that they value, even though sometimes they don't, but sometimes, you know, they do. And they go past the point of it being appropriate to continue asking. And so that's when we've got to say, you know, we've got to ask. And again, we always do it tactfully and politely and with honor. And we might say, you know, I've really enjoyed these conversations. It sounds as though you've received some value from them. And they say, oh yeah, these have been great. And then you say, you know, this is actually what I do professionally. And if you would like to continue to, or if you'd like to be able to, or if you'd like to, and then you right there, fill in that bracket with what they're looking to accomplish. You know, if you'd like to have me help you to blah, 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 in a professional relationship, I'm very happy. I'd be honored to pursue that if that's something you'd like to do. So you're not putting them in a corner. You're not making them defensive, right? You're not saying, okay, this is enough, buddy. You've asked me enough questions. Now, if you want more, you got to pay. Obviously, that's not the way to do it. But you do it by first, you know, again, asking if they've received value from it. They have. And this is actually what I do, or what I do professionally. And and I'd love to be able to help you to achieve your goal of blah, 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 blah. If that's something you'd like to pursue on a consulting basis, I'd be honored to do that. You know, I'd be honored to pursue that. I mean, however you want to do that. And then you ask the question, and then they have a chance to say yes or no.
Yeah. And what I like about that is, you know, you're giving them the opportunity to take action. You're not pushing them. You're not trying to close them. So you're putting the onus on them. And the truth is, if they push beyond that boundary, then they're probably not going to be the best client for you anyway. So it's qualifying by doing that. Yeah. Cause I found that the clients where they are constantly asking you for more without wanting to pay, they typically aren't happy with what you give them when they do pay you, and they don't always want to end up paying you for what you do, and you run into all kinds of problems.
Yeah. Remember, you know, we train people how to treat us. So if we come across as someone who is just there to you know, provide advice without a fee, well, that's how they're going to think of us, and who can blame them? That's how we're, you know, we're doing it. So yeah, we provide information, and again, that information should be in such a way that it is of value, of absolute value, and yet it also positions us as the person who helps them to implement that in a way that they would not be able to do so as effectively without us.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's a great place to wrap up. I do have one final question for you. I'm going to go a little off of what I normally do here. What's a project you're working on right now, or what's something you're working on that you're really excited about?
Well, again, Jeff West, my co-author of our latest book, Streetwise to Saleswise, and Kim Angeli, who's an amazing marketing strategist. You'd love her. We have an event coming up, a live event in West Palm Beach in early June called Saleswise Live 2024. And it's just 2 days of sales teaching. And we're very, very excited about it.
Man, that sounds awesome. Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.